Taylor's life is over, but we are just getting started here on post-show recaps. I'm Jess Sterling, along with my co-host, traveling through time once again, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am really pumped. I think that this was a really great episode. So excited to dig in deep with you. I think this is what we were waiting for, this episode.
You know what's funny? Feel like we, the creators of the show, traveled forward in time.
Yes.
Heard from us that we were like, episode 3 better be all about Claire because we don't feel like we know her well enough. And then they zoomed back in time and they were like, let's make episode 3 all about Claire so that they're satisfied.
Yeah, it's definitely a reaction to this podcast.
Exactly. They listened to us. But I'm right there with you. This episode, I think, was my favorite of the first three. It just like finally things are not, I shouldn't say finally, but things feel like they're gelling. I felt like episode 1, obviously it's a pilot. You're just kind of getting started. You're getting your feet wet. Episode 2 was Henry's episode. Episode 3 is Claire's episode. And since we already know Henry very well, it felt like, wow, we're really gelling. I would say the LVP of this episode is Claire's terrible 16-year-old wig.
Well, really? You thought that was bad?
I thought it was really – well, I think it was a combo effect. I think it was a combo of the fact that it was a wig and there's no way this actress looks 16. I think that's my problem with it, is more like Rose Leslie. She's a gorgeous, beautiful person, very obviously so. But there's no way she's a 16-year-old. That's my problem.
She's 35. She's more than double – the age that she was meant to be playing at 16. But I thought it was – I didn't think that it was so distracting that it took away from
the show. No, I'm not, like, complaining that much. It's just, again, if I'm nitpicking, it's definitely that, like, yeah, she doesn't – but that's the show, right? Like, we're in a show, just like This Is Us, which you just podcasted about, where they're going to have to do some makeups and special makeup and special effects to make these characters look older or younger. And sometimes it's just – there's only so much they can do to de-age them.
Right. I don't know if they did do any CGI effects for the show itself to see if they, you know, de-aged her a little bit, but I wasn't that distracted. I thought that it was fine. Maybe it's because I come from watching a show like This Is Us where I'm used to people going back and forward with aging, and I just accept it like it is, as well as seeing different age groups with totally different actors and just, you know, living in the world of disbelief that it's the same exact person.
I will say I thought that the younger versions of Claire, both the like 6 to 8 range one and the like preteen Claire, both were wonderful. I thought they did amazing jobs. And I feel the cohesion between the three different actors and that character. Again, I think that based on what you have said, again, we don't spoil the book up front here. We do have kind of like a spoiler-filled section at the end of the podcast. So don't worry, we're not going to spoil anything for you. But based on what you've said about like, and what we've seen so far about Claire kind of having this like spunk, right? Like she's sassy. She's effervescent. She has a lot of character. She is not someone who's going to lay down and let you roll all over her. I felt that in the younger versions of Claire. You could feel that energy coming from her. So I was impressed.
Yeah, I think that in the last few episodes, I've been saying this is who Claire is. And maybe if you hadn't read the book or seen the movie, maybe that wasn't coming through, but I think that you can see the grit of Claire come through in episode 3, which is really enjoyable. And once again, it was really nice seeing darker subject matter from the books be portrayed onto the show, especially when the movie didn't cover it. So I think that in a non-spoilerly way, that's totally not a word, but bear with me. I think that the show is doing a really, really great
adaptation.
Please, can I just hop out of my body right now? Of the book.
Yeah.
Of the book. And I think it's really, really enjoyable, especially if you're a fan of the book.
Yeah, I think for anybody who watched the original film that came out and was disappointed by it, as I know I was, because it felt very fluffy and romantic, and it felt like it picked and chose the romantic parts of the book to showcase rather than this book is sad. It's a dark book. It does get very sad. And I think that the show is doing such a good job. And I know we mentioned this way back in episode one of like the scene where he sees his feet, right? Like we do see some darker imagery. And I feel like the show did a great job of warning you in that first episode. Like, listen, this isn't just a romantic puff piece, you know, there's going to be some grit. There's going to be some dark moments. And I feel like episode three was certainly the darkest that we've gone. Probably. I think the repeated car accident wasn't fun, but this feels like much darker material. And I really enjoyed, and I think it adds to the depth of character, right? Like we talked a little bit about how, you know, I was a little bit uncomfortable, like, oh, is it grooming? You know, he keeps visiting her when she's a child and it's a little weird. This, I feel like, does a great job of showing Henry is doing the best he possibly can to keep the distance.
And I think that that's my perspective of it was really, really warped by, once again, like, this was how it was portrayed in the book. So when you were saying that, I was like, but it's not. And that's because I had the recollection of Henry literally saying, like, stay away from me. This is not appropriate. And even Claire says at times he came to Claire as a fatherly figure. Do your homework. Let's practice your French. Like, he really tried to set the barrier. And I think that that's probably, like, this author, Audrey Neffinger, I think that she knew where it was going to get dicey and how it can get portrayed as honestly creepy. But I think that she knew the line, and I think that they portrayed it once again well in this episode of when it, and it's uncomfortable because, like, he just got out of bed with his wife, who is 30 something year old Claire, and then hops to a 16 year old Claire. It's awkward, but he does his best.
He does his best. And I think that it was accurate. I think it was well done in this episode specifically, where I loved how, and we'll obviously dive deeper into this, but like, he kept it a secret from her that they were married in the future. And like the restraint that he has to show to hide things from her because he wants her to live a life, right? He doesn't want her to live in this predestined situation that she's in. He wants her to go out and explore and have fun and not be the person who's always waiting for him. And yet that's still who she is. And again, I'm thrilled with how they chose to portray the fact that she's always waiting. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it completely hit the nail on the head of what I took away from the book and just the sadness of both of their existences, honestly. And they're always waiting. Really, really excited about this episode. I thought they did such a great job. My favorite episode so far. And I'm just really, I'm proud that this is the direction they're taking the show in, because they could have gone such a different direction. I really love this. So we're going to talk all about episode three. Of course, if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. PosherRecaps.com/HBO pod is how you can do so. We have a ton of other amazing content in this feed as well. They're talking The Staircase over with Ariel Marissa. There's a lot of great HBO content right now. And if you want to give us rating reviews, of course, 5 stars, we always appreciate it. We'd love to hear from you. And we also have a channel, a thread in the Post Your Recaps Discord. If you're a patron, you can become one. PostYourRecaps.com/Patreon. Join us. Talk about it. We love to hear from people's feedback. I think it's so valuable to hear what other people are thinking of the show as well, whether or not they've read the book. Let's dive in. We start off with an older version of Claire. This is the first we've ever seen of this version of Claire. And she's being interviewed again, kind of like a talking head. I will say I didn't mind the talking head as much in this episode. And I don't know if it was because we only heard from her. That maybe it felt like she was telling us secrets. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that she kind of broke, not the fourth wall a little bit, but I think that she gave a little bit more insight into why she is doing these interviews. And you know, because when we first watched them, I was thinking, what is this, some sort of documentary or what it is? But I have a feeling that it is for a very specific person that maybe we can mention in the spoiler section. So I thought that made it a little bit more tolerable. But yeah, old Claire is fine. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know if I love I older versions of these characters. Once again, it very much reminds me how they aged up Mandy Moore with the prosthetic yes. makeup, and This Is Us. And it always in my, the back of my head, I was always like, oh yes, Mandy Moore is 35 years old and she is in this old woman makeup.
Yeah, but I thought that I didn't think that it was that bad. I actually have to commend, I thought the hair looked pretty good.
Oh, the hair was very good. Much better than Mandy Moore.
Yeah. The hair on this show is much better than on This Is Us. But yeah, it is obviously a little bit jarring. But she's talking and she says, do you still watch these? I hope not. I hope you have something better to do or someone. But I do seem to keep making them. It's something to fill my days that doesn't involve people my age. Being old is like being very young, boring. Yes. And I, again, we don't know who she's talking to. But yeah, I totally agree with this. I remember being a kid and summer vacation would hit and I'd be so bored. I was like, just let me back in school because I just want to be able to do something. And I know this might be uncommon. I lived in a pretty rural area. I didn't have like tons of friends that I could walk to their house. And so I'd often just be home for the day with nothing to do. And if you know a bored me, it's never something you want to be around. Ooh. I'm unbearable when I'm bored.
Yeah, I'm sure you would be uber annoying. Yeah, you would really be was. Sitting in the kitchen banging pots and pans, talking to Nell as well.
Yes.
Like, go away. I'm just trying to do my job.
Poor Nell, right? She has to deal with young Claire all the time. So we have Claire. I thought the transition was very smooth here where she says that. And then, of course, we're flashing back to Claire at age 6. She's bored. She wants to know when Christmas is. And she says, when you're little, everything is waiting. And we see her brother playing a Game Boy and typical brother, older brother behavior. He's like, I don't want to play with you.
You have a bad personality.
What a rude thing to say. Could you believe that? The audacity.
Yeah, it seems like something that an older sibling would say. And then I love how Claire like goes and tattles on Mark, which I hate tattletales, but whatever.
Because you're an older sibling. Naturally, you hate tattletales.
I hate tattletales. They're the worst. And she goes to her mom, and I love her mom is just like so over it. And she's like, everybody has a personality, Claire.
Yeah, this was a whole thing. Like we saw in the first or second episode, I think it was the first one. Her mom was kind of like looking kind of depressed and forlorn.
Yes.
And in this episode, she's seen taking medication, some type of prescription pill. And she asks, oh, are you sick? And she's like, oh, I just need to lie down. And so then Claire goes to her father and she says, mom is sad again. And it's like, okay, you can tell this is a common occurrence in Claire's life. And she's only 6 and she's recognizing it. You know, like a pattern has been established here.
Yeah, I think 6-year-olds are extremely observant and they read energies very, very well. So I'm not surprised that a young Claire who spends a lot of her time being lonely and waiting and being bored would notice that of her mother. Seems like she doesn't have a lot of attention. I don't know where her younger sister is in all of these moments, but maybe she was being carted off doing ballet or whatever.
Yeah. We don't see the younger sister a ton here. But so Claire goes up to play with her toys and girl, the number of Beanie Babies this girl had.
Man, she has all the freaking Beanie Babies.
And they all had the tags still on them. Anybody with a dog, I had a dog, and he would specifically, when I had Beanie Babies when I was a kid, I swear he would hunt down the sole Beanie Baby that had a tag still, and he would rip it off.
That's terrible.
He did that all the time. He loved to chew on my Beanie Babies.
That's actually the rudest thing I've ever heard of in my life. I loved a Beanie Baby back in the day. Now, we were both 2 kids that grew up in the 90s, and Beanie Babies were life back then. And of course, we all thought we were going to be millionaires.
Right.
Did you have
the tag protectors to like?
Yeah, I had. I 110% had the tag protectors. Mm-hmm. What did you do? You remember like, which one was your favorite Beanie Baby?
Yes. So. Oh? My favorites to collect were the dogs, shocking to nobody, but I loved Fetch, who was the golden retriever.
Wow. You're so unique and original. I would have never guessed that from you.
That one was definitely my favorite. And I remember back in the day, McDonald's had a special promotion
where
they sold these like, or you got them with the kids meals, these little small Beanie Babies. And I was obsessed. And every time that I would like Mom, can we go to McDonald's? Because I wanted to collect all of the little ones because like there was a Dalmatian one. And I used to pretend that like the regular Beanie Babies were like the parents and then the itty bitty ones were like their kids.
Of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Beanie Babies were definitely my jam back in the day.
I miss Beanie Babies. I bet my parents still have mine in like some tote somewhere.
Jessica, you know that's true because don't you have your old baby dolls in your basement?
There's definitely some stuff down there for sure. Yeah. I mean, they kept a lot of the stuff that they're like, oh, when we have grandkids, they'll play with these things. I'm like, those people
nobody's going to play with the fucking Beanie Babies.
No. And so, yeah. So she says she knows what she's waiting for. And so we have older Claire saying no one should meet their soulmate when they're 6 years old. Remember, this is not a story about a time traveler. This is a story about the time traveler's wife. And again, a bit on the nose, right? A bit like telling us directly. But this is exactly what I was saying. We're like, true. Yes, that's the title of the book. Like, it's more about the fact that poor Claire spends her entire life waiting, right? Like, waiting for Henry to come, waiting for Henry to go. Like, constantly. She's waiting.
That's correct. And I love every single episode, the intro gets changed slightly.
Yes.
We're back to her school outfit, but ultimately she says, this is my story. And instead of it being Claire's shoes with a pile of Henry's clothing, it's just Claire to say, this is me. This is about me. This is my episode. Yeah. So I really like how typically it's so easy to skip an intro to a show. It's so easy. Most of us do it unless they have a really good song. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's important to keep an eye on these intros because it tells a bit about the story of the episode.
And not only that, the way they weave the intro into the story itself, like it always kind of, it doesn't feel like you're cutting to an intro.
It feels
like a scene.
It's
very
cool. Exactly. So it's really unique. I don't know if I've seen anything quite like this. And I really, really like it.
I don't think I have. I mean, I'd have to, I mean, obviously there's millions of shows out there, but not to my knowledge. And I agree with you. I completely love this intro. And so she says, when someone comes into your life, something else comes with them, absence. And we see him disappearing in front of her. And so then we see the maid kind of removing, those little table, calendars that you rip a day off. So she's removing one and Claire asks, if you take another day off, can you make the days go by faster? And she's like, no, that's not how it works. We see Claire kind of stuff all of Henry's clothes she's taken from her father in a box and like hides it under a rock. And she becomes obsessed with pulling these days off the calendar because for her, it's like, oh, I have 6 more days until Henry's here. I have 5 more days until Henry's here.
Exactly.
And so I just loved this montage of her in different outfits, pulling off the days with, did you say Nell? I'm forgetting her name.
Yeah, her name is Nell.
Now, kind of watching her do it. I thought this was such a great way to show the passing of time and how difficult it is for Claire.
Yeah. She is really waiting. She is spending all of her days waiting for the next day that her little book says that Henry is going to come. And it really just sets, the precedence of her life and just trying for her to pass time.
Yeah, it must be tough. And so she, her brother is like playing video games. And so she goes into his room and this book is empty. He's like, it's a notebook, stupid. So she's like, can I have it?
Mark is such a freaking jerk, man.
He is. He's the worst. This is how older brothers are. All older brothers are like this.
Really?
Yes. At least at that age.
Why in the world does Mark have 20 empty notebooks in his bookcase?
I was wondering the same thing. I'm like, what is he doing? And they're all like, they're not like school notebooks. Oh, maybe back and then they were, but they were small.
I think they're supposed to be school notebooks. There's a a world map on the back, a globe.
Weird.
But Mark is a spoiled brat.
Yeah. And so it's finally the 29th, which is when Henry said he'd return. And so we see her kind of sitting up against a rock and like doing the nod, where you're falling asleep waiting. He's finally arrived. He's 31 and he's here. He asks where the food is. He's like, time traveling makes me hungry. Have I not told you that yet? And she's like, no. And so we see her go in and like medieval time style, she just brings him out like a leg of chicken.
This is just like whatever she can grab. And this house is so fancy. And they have Nell, who's a professional cook, that this is just every single day is like Thanksgiving dinner for these people.
Yeah. She's writing down all the dates he's telling her that eventually she will give to him later. There are 152 dates. And then we flash to her like as a kid, like under the covers, like reading all the dates. And she says, at first it seemed like there were lots of Henrys. The one with the dark hair is the funniest. And I love this. Like, I think she talks about it later. I love the idea of her associating like, oh, this one is this way and this one is this way. It's so interesting.
Because it's different places in time. The older he gets, the more hardships he has in his early 30s, and he's in love. Everything is just really sweet and fun, and he's in the honeymoon stages of life. As he gets older, he becomes more of a parental figure for her, and she doesn't know who she's going to see from day to day. So she only sees it as different people. I personally would rather 32-year-old Henry to come every single day to my house. That's just a personal opinion.
Yeah, mine. I was going to say, I'm into 32-year-old Henry.
30s Henry.
36. Well, the 30 to 40, like even the 40-year-old Henry can get it. Let me tell you.
I know, but
we're like in our 30s. We're allowed to say that now.
No, I know, but 40-year-old Henry is like, what is he? Is he sad, Henry?
He's a little sad.
He's a little sad boy. But, yeah, but at 36-year-old Henry, he's allowed over. I mean, all of them are. To all be of them are.
I mean, I'll even seen take the butt, sad Henry.
Who am I? The butt. What am I saying?
We've seen a lot of butts.
I'll take the sad one.
You'd be too sad together. I think that he's such a sad asshole.
I'll be crying all the time. Yeah. I like it. I don't mind. I'll cry with Henry.
Yeah. You'd have a moat around your house of both of your tears.
I mean, I am growing tomatoes. I think tears are. Tears are probably. Oh, you think it's too salty?
I think it's too salty
for produce. Okay, yeah.
Fair enough. So then we see Claire is 8 and Henry is 32, and they're playing checkers. And we find out something interesting. He can't play. She wants to play Nintendo with him, which again, very 90s reference. He says, "I can't. I can't do screens. It makes me time travel," which kind of makes sense. With like, I kind of picture it as like a strobing light effect.
Yeah. So in the book, Henry often uses or explains his condition quite like epilepsy, and epileptics are not usually able to watch like strobing lights. Sometimes television gives them migraines. So he doesn't watch TV. He doesn't really look at screens. Because it makes him dizzy and wind up time traveling. So he tries to avoid it.
Yeah. And so this is when older Claire is kind of describing like older Henry is the one with the gray hair. He's like a dad and always made me do my homework. And so then we see Claire at 10 and Henry at 36. And he says he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't like his work. Which is like very funny to me.
It is very funny. Once again, Claire's family is really religious within the books. They go to church, blah, 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 blah. And there's a couple of conversations about religion, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah. And we haven't seen much of that here besides obviously this one little snippet. I don't know that they would include that in the show. I'd be curious to see if we get it in the future. I don't think they would spend too much time on it. I feel like in a book you have a little bit more time to meander. Maybe the show, we only have 6 episodes, so I don't know that they would stop down on that too much. But then when she calls the sad one, the sad Henry, he's the 41-year-old. So Claire is now 11 and Henry is 41. And he mentions 2022, which I thought was so like such a fun reference. I'm like, oh, he's seen some stuff then.
poor. I can understand why 41-year-old Henry would be sad after.
Yeah, right.
After 2022,
it's true. And so he says, "Yeah, I don't know what date is coming for him next." And he kind of like shuffles a deck of cards as a metaphor for like how his life works. And Claire, we have only her holder. Excuse me, here holder Claire say. They were the same Henry. They were just shuffled together.
Yeah.
And then we get, I do love like the intercuts of, okay, it's not always summer when he visits. And so we see them in the snow. Claire is 12, Henry is 35, and they're building a snowman. And he lets it slip that he says, no, I don't meet your family until 2008. And he shouldn't have said that because Claire's 13. Like, she's very smart at this point. She's very quick. Or excuse me, she's 12. She's very quick. And she's like, oh, well, why would you meet them? And he's like, oh, mm-hmm. I just do.
Yeah.
And so then she does the math and she's like, oh, I'm 20 in 2008. So like, we know that's the year they meet me. That's the year that Correct. Henry meets her for the first time.
Correct. Yeah. Claire just picks up on this stuff so quickly. And Henry is usually so good about being tight-lipped, but anything that he says, she's going to dissect. Yeah. So nothing passes her. And, you know, he tries to say, oh, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. I don't really know why I meet them, but she definitely knows something is up.
Yeah, because I think the problem is if he could go back in time, if you would, he would never tell her that his wife's name is Claire, because not only does she know that you meet her parents, but then she's like, well, it's kind of funny that I'm Claire and your wife is Claire. Like, you know that she's like figuring it out or has her suspicions at this
point. She definitely has her suspicions, and he tries to combat that by lying and says, you know, it is kind of weird that you guys have the same name. And it's interesting because she says, well, I'm old enough at that point. So she's definitely trying to figure it out. But the issue is that he's directly lying to her about the truth if they are together in the future and who his wife is. And for her good, so that she can try to live a normal life.
Right.
But it only makes Claire angry at him because she's jealous. As a young girl, she's like, I want to be your wife. Like, this is not fair. And also she's like, well, where am I? Like, tell me what I'm doing at this time if I'm not with you then. So it's kind of interesting. And she's just going to ask questions. And of course, he has a softness for her. So it's kind of like he wants to give in, but he knows that he can't.
And I think it's worth saying too that like she is so persistent. Like when are up against someone like this who is so persistent in asking you questions and
right
you have
questions too.
Yes. And you have a soft spot for them in general. Mm-hmm. Gosh, we really feel for Henry here in this position he's in. And so then we jump to a very scary scene in the show. Claire is 13. She's sleeping. Henry's 42 and he's screaming for her and she wakes up, jumps out of the bed and she's just like running through the snow. And she says she didn't hear the gunshots, only him. And we see her father and her brother hunting. And of course her brother is, oh my God, he's such a jerk. Even at this age, like I can't
Mark
with him.
Always a jerk. He's always a jerk. He's going to continue being a jerk. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, who did you shoot? And who shouted my name? And her father's just like, you were dreaming. It was a dream. Don't worry. You're fine. And so she starts running away, screaming for Henry. And we hear like some rustling of the leaves of the ground and we see a pool of blood in the snow. And she yells at her father, you shot someone, you shot a man, look. And then the blood is gone. And so obviously we're like, oh shoot. Like, I mean, obviously we're like, is it a dream? Is it not a dream? That pool of blood, is it the same pool of blood we saw in episode one? You know, like there's a lot of, again, the darkness in this show is a like, what the heck happened? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we know Henry is 42 when this happened, which is something that's like very interesting to think about, right? Because I mean, obviously, we've seen a very old version of Henry, like much older than 42, because we saw 42-year-old Henry not too long ago. He was just a little bit of salt and pepper vibes. He wasn't the guy that was like the talking head in the interview, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so we'll get into more of that talk in the spoiler-filled version of this podcast at the end. But yeah, and so she's very upset. She runs off. And then, we're back we're back with Henry at 32 and Claire, who's like a tween still. And he's like, you probably just imagined it. And she's like, it could have been older, you out in the meadow dying. And I noticed here that when she's like a tween, they're playing chess instead of checkers. They've upgraded.
They've upgraded. Yeah. What, they are intellectual, you know, equals, or they really enjoy. So yeah, they've graduated to chess. Good for them.
Yes. And so she's very concerned. She says, you could be out there dying somewhere in time. And of course, Henry comes back with what he always says of like, everyone is dying somewhere in time. All futures end in a brick road or a brick wall. And she wants to know like, what's up, right? Like she wants to know what's in her future. And he says, I don't want you to know what's coming, because what's coming is a brick wall. And like, this is when Claire is really getting like, she knows what's up, and she's like, doesn't your wife worry about you like I do?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, she's like, I have a stupid idea sometimes about who you're married to.
Yeah.
She's like, I think you're married to me. Like she knows.
She knows. And once again, he directly has to say, we're not married in the future. Point blank.
Yes.
And
yeah, I love the older Claire too, saying, what does a decent man say? I didn't pity him then. Of course not, because she was a teenager and teenagers don't pity anybody.
Mad at him. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do now. His future wife at 13 years of age, now facing him as a child, demanding to know who she is. What does he tell the child who becomes the woman he loves? And like you said, he says, we're not married in the future. That's not how it works out. Okay. I can't tell you anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. And understandably, she gets mad. And she's a young teenager. Of
she's
course.
13 years old.
If your crush is like, well, I don't like you and we're not going to be together, even if the age difference is weird, of course you're going to be upset, because all you want is people to love you, especially when you're that age. And I like how once he disappears, she just leaves the king and the queen yes. out together. And she's thinking a lot about love and marriage, even though she's super young, but that's what little girls do.
I think the thing is like, imagine yourself at 13 years old, man, woman, yeah. whatever, right? Imagine yourself at 13 years old. That is such a difficult time. You're going through puberty, right? You're figuring out what you like. And whether or not you want to say it's creepy or not, this man has been involved in her life since she was 6 years old. She's been waiting for him constantly since she was 6 years old. There's going to be feelings there, regardless of whether or not it's meant to be. There's feelings. And of course, she's frustrated and she's sad when she believes him, right? Like she believes that he's telling her the truth, because
yeah.
she has no reason not to. He's not lied to her so far. And she's upset. And I do love the older version of Claire saying, there are few things more harmful in this world than the lies of a decent man. Like, I think one of the things I really appreciated was hearing the narrative and like the voiceover from older, wiser Claire while looking we're watching back, the young interactions.
Yeah, looking back and responding to, you know, this is what I was thinking about in this moment. Now I understand. Now I can look back with 2020 vision and say, I understand why he made these decisions. But in the moment, it was horrible and I was angry and I was upset. But what is he really supposed to do? He's not supposed to tell me everything that happens. He's not – he had to lie to me in that moment. Yep. And now she can look back and understand that as much as it hurt Claire to hear those things as a young kid, and as much as it sucked being lied to, she feels empathetic or sympathetic to Henry that it was hard for him too.
Yeah. I thought that was such a great way to like, because here's the thing. If we didn't have older Claire giving us that voiceover, giving us that wise older perspective, some viewers might have disliked Claire here because they view her as a child, an immature child. And I think that when you get the older version of Claire being like, I know what it was like, I know it must have been tough for Henry. It allows us to like excuse the childhood
right.
You know, issues.
Because she's just a child. Yeah. And this is things are a lot more black and white when you're a kid.
Oh,
you know?
100%. Yeah. So, it's very much like, you're wrong, I'm right. That's it.
Especially with a kid like Claire. Yeah.
And so then we go, we have Henry, of course, like, if we could just, I love how every episode, the show just graces us with Henry's naked bod just falling out of the sky.
Yeah, I the time has come where I have added this actor on Instagram because I suppose that it's not enough that I see his naked form on my television screen. I now have to stalk him on Instagram.
That's a great butt.
It's the like, butt, the body double. But it's the face. It's the face. It's his lips. He's very attractive.
I think it's for me. I love the salt. I've always been a fan of the salt and pepper look. I like my husband too. Is getting some gray hair, and it's like yes. But like, yeah, for me, it's like the salt and pepper version of Henry that is like chef's kiss.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so he pulls out the box that is always underneath the rock, and there are no clothes in it.
Mm.
We hear a rustling in the forest.
Yeah, at first I was like, what is this? Is like Claire mad at him? So this is like her payback so that because he said that he's not going to marry her. But no, it was 4 years later, and this is Claire's version of how to seek Henry how to seduce him in an indisposed state, and Henry's like trying to cover himself up, and Claire's being a creeper.
She's 16 years old. She's wearing obviously a little bit like a shorter dress, you know. Mm-hmm. She's obviously dolled herself up for this occasion.
Yeah.
And she says he says he'd never seen her looking so 16 years old. And she's like, listen, I bought you some new clothes. You know, I had to give my dad's back, but I scattered them about the place. You have to go look for them.
Yeah. What kind of deranged scavenger hunt is this?
Yes. And he's obviously very uncomfortable. He's like, listen, you're older now. And she's like, but I've seen you naked so many times. He's like, yeah, but now you enjoy it.
There's the difference. Like before you were just like covering your eyes like, oh, gross boy. Now you're interested.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to draw the line. Now we have to make sure that no lines are being crossed.
Yeah. And so she says every time he takes a piece in checkers, he wins an item of clothing. And so she pats the rock next to her, kind of like it's very much reminiscent of like someone tapping the bed, you know, sitting on the bed and tapping it, you know.
Exactly.
And we skip forward and he wins all of his clothing and she's very upset. She's like, you weren't usually that good. He's like, yeah, I was like letting you be like win. I wasn't trying my hardest before.
Well, yeah, now that she's better at chess, he has to actually go full force. But yes. The funny thing is that she probably taught him how to play chess.
Yep. Yep. Just so it's very funny.
Just funny.
And so she leans forward, she tries to kiss him, and he leans back, which again, I was very happy to see. Obviously we're playing with fire a little bit here with the storyline. It's wrong, right? Like she's 16 years old. She's putting the moves onto this guy who's double her age. And he's just like, you know, it is his wife, but it's not quite his wife yet.
And once again, she gets pissed. Really pissed off. She's mad. She's like, I don't want you to treat me like a kid anymore. I don't want your stupid ice cream. I don't want to I don't want to do any of this. But he's really he brought her to a public place where they couldn't get into a compromising position. Yeah. So he's really putting as much of a division as before in between them.
Yes.
Because they go into town and they together are watching kids her age, and it's kind of interesting for him because he's like, a part of him must feel like, gosh, like I wish that she can just be like a normal kid and go hang out with her friends instead of waiting for me. And she's looking at them like, oh, they're such idiots compared to my mature Henry.
Yes. Yes. That was what I thought was so interesting because, right, she's already annoyed. She's already hot and bothered. And like, I know how, because I can kind of see some of similarities between myself and Claire sometimes. Like I have a bit of a temper and I know how I would feel if someone was like, here, take ice cream, feel better. And you're like, I don't want it, even though I always want ice cream, you know? And then he hands it to her and she's like, oh, but I'm not like quick enough. Like she needs a napkin and he already has it
because he knows her that she's like a sloppy eater. And yes. But then again, it's like, okay, because he already knows her and already knows all of her needs. He's the perfect guy because he knows these things about her instinctually.
Yeah. But it's, and I would also be annoyed because it's like,
how dare you know me so well that I need a napkin?
Exactly. It must be infuriating for her. And so, yeah, she sees all her friends. And originally I was like, wait a minute, are these people her friends or do they bully her? Because the way she was looking at them, it was like she disliked them. But now that you say it, it makes so much more sense where it's like, this is the difference. Claire is sitting on a bench with a guy who's going to be her husband eventually. And all the kids her age are partying and having fun, but she's too stuck in the future. Basically, that's the only thing she cares about is the future, is when do I get to see Henry again? And what does my future look like with him? And she's far too distracted with Henry, which is the exact opposite of what he wants.
Exactly. Exactly. What do you think of Claire's ice cream choice of chocolate ice cream with rainbow sprinkles?
Absolute trash. It's the worst.
Terrible. It's terrible.
Not what I would pick. Especially like I would go waffle cone, either vanilla or swirl. Yeah. I'm not going chocolate ice cream. Never.
Full chocolate. Yeah. This was a sugar cone with chocolate ice cream and rainbow sprinkles. I think that if you're going to do chocolate ice cream, you have to go full tilt and go chocolate sprinkles.
I'm right there with you. You only get the rainbow sprinkles if it's vanilla ice cream. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. At least we are on the same page.
Because you got to go for the Insta look, right? Like this is all about in the age of aesthetics. That's what you got.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So, all right. Let's stop down right here. I'm going to go get some ice cream because I honestly could use some now. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. All right. We are back and it is party time, baby. Poor Henry. He's 41. He arrives and Claire has a note wrapped with a sandwich that just says, sorry, at a party.
Can I share what actually happened in the book? Because it's not a spoiler.
I was going to say, if it's not a spoiler, then absolutely.
It's not a spoiler. So in the book, Henry arrives. Claire is there waiting for him and is like, I want to go to this party. And he's like, what am I going to do? And she's like, you're going to come with me, but you're going to wait in the car the entire time.
That's worse.
I know it is worse. So he goes to the freaking party and just waits in the car the whole time. And then one of her friends comes up to him and goes, are you her dad's friend?
What kind of dad's friend goes with a 16-year-old to a party? That's so strange.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like what they did with the show better, I think.
I think it makes more sense, right? Like, why would Henry go to the party with her?
Yeah.
But and sit in the back.
Claire's 16. She's like, we see her enter this party. She's all dressed up. And we hear some guy call her Miss Look But Don't Touch.
Yes. So she's getting a reputation in school for being a prude. And she never goes on dates. And she never accepts guys offers, and of course there were rumors, but as well as she's just like a prude.
And so then she walks upstairs and we see all the girls that we saw around like the sports car earlier, and they're like, you're just in time for the abs. Meanwhile, poor Henry opens up the package. It's just some crappy sandwich. He like eats a bite and then he just like throws it. He's like,
she's like, this is not a Nell made sandwich. Claire legitimately made this sandwich.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Claire's not a good cook.
No.
Henry was always the cook.
I could see that. Yeah. And so then we see there's just a pool of men and there's like a bunch of guys just like jumping into the pool at some rich people's house. Who knows whose house it is.
I really missed out. I never went to a teenage pool party.
I don't think I did either. Like I went to my friend's house and like swam, but that was, it was not like a party.
Yeah. I need to get into the pool part. Well, no, not anymore. I don't need to pull Henry, but, past self needed to really go to the party. So this is a hopping party. We're at the pool. We're jumping off the roof. We're having a grand old time.
Yeah.
And girls are just watching.
Yeah. All these girls are super into it. And then suddenly Claire kind of looks like a little bit upset. Like, I don't know. In my mind, to me, it was like, oh, I could be with Henry right now. Like that was kind of what was going through her mind. I don't know if that's actually what was going on. And the other girls are like, what's wrong with you? You're failing to be defiant. Like you're failing to be a teenage girl. And then of course they ask, who was that old guy you were sitting on the bench with? Mm-hmm. Is he married? You know, they want all the details, but of course Claire won't say anything. She can't say anything, really.
Right. Yeah. So this is her group of friends, and we see them a little bit more in the book. And it's definitely something that they ask her a lot about, if she has any crushes, if she likes anybody, if she's seeing anybody. And they're getting frustrated with her a little bit too, because she's like, you're our best friend and you won't tell us anything about you. Like, what kind of friend are you?
And this is when you're that age, that is how you connect with your friends, right?
Exactly.
It's like, who do you have a crush on? Exactly. Do you like them or do you like them? Like, do you like them?
So eventually, when they eventually meet Henry, they're like, why the heck did you not tell us about him?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's frustrating. And I do feel bad for Claire because she has to be so close-lipped about everything. And she's not being a real teenager in these moments.
Yeah.
And I think that what ultimately happens at this party is that she, of course, she's thinking about Henry the entire time. But she's also thinking about, like, all these people are having fun. I, for this one night only, want to let go myself and then just be like everybody else. And that's how she gets into this bad situation, because some guy who always shows interest in her, you know, says a couple nice things. She gets in a car with him and gets in this terrible situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. It's hard. It's hard to be Claire and be torn between two worlds, essentially torn between two times. And so we see her go down to the pool, and she's watching Jason, and he makes eye contact with her and then jumps in the pool. And of course, one of her friends says, if you're pining over some old married guy, you know, it's never going to happen. Meanwhile, Henry is just like falling asleep in the woods, and she's calling for him and he's running towards her. But of course, she trips and falls. And as he runs towards her, he leaves and the clothes kind of fall to the ground.
Which kind of stinks, because she really needs Henry in that moment. And just when he's within an arm's reach of her, that's when he disappears. So it's she really could have used his guidance and that his help and a shoulder to cry on in that moment. And that's when he's not available for her.
Yeah, of course. And on top of that, like, you understand why he probably time travels, because he said stress makes him time travel. And I imagine hearing someone you really care about yelling for your help, you get your heart rate pumping, you know, like it's going to agitate you in a way that would make you time travel. It's really the worst of both situations. And so then we go to Henry's 32, Claire's 16. And so she walks out on him about to get dressed, and he's like, oh great, there are clothes here. And he asks, oh, has the no clothes time already happened for you? And she's like, we're going for a drive today. I have my license. She looks upset, and he's worried someone will see them, but she's like, no, nobody's home. And it's very apparent something is going on. Like, she's upset. Mm-hmm. She's visibly upset. She's speeding, and she's like, where do you live? She wants to obviously find a younger version of him, and he won't tell her. And he's getting upset because she's driving like a mad woman.
Yes. And just as a reminder, he's afraid of cars. He hates being in the car because he's of that massive accident.
Yeah.
So the fact that and I don't blame Claire in this. I mean, I do blame Claire in this moment because she was driving recklessly. But to be fair, she didn't know about him being in that accident.
She didn't know that specific part.
That specific, because he didn't tell her. So I think that if she knew that he was like deathly afraid of cars, then she wouldn't put him in this bad situation. But he's in a bad situation because it's super scary. He hates all this fast driving and such.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he says, you know, you can't meet him yet. You don't meet him yet. And so then she's on like this, like these two lanes, and she crosses over into oncoming traffic. And she's like, listen, I'm not allowed to die. I can't die. We can't die today. It's impossible. And he makes such a good point. That was the first thing I thought of. Yeah, but you can kill everyone else. You could cause someone to have an accident and ruin people's lives. And then she straight up just closes her eyes. He takes the wheel. Eventually, he asks what the matter is. She stops the car and she's like, it's about time you effing asked. Like, I mean, here's the thing. I try to remember, and this is again why I think it's so important that we do have older Claire talking to us this episode, because if not for that, I feel like we come away from this episode thinking much worse about Claire as a human. Because in this moment, you're like, oh my gosh, it's so irresponsible. She could have murdered someone. Like, yes, obviously Henry cares about you. He asked you a million times what's going on, but you have to remember she's 16 and she's been through something so traumatic. Like, that you would do, of course she's going to act erratically, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really scary. And I think that she's going through and dealing with trauma right now and she's, you know, acting out, and it's super uncomfortable to watch. And I've never been in that position. Of course, I've been through my own set of trauma and I know how I dealt with certain things. So I couldn't feel for her in this moment, but it's so, so scary. And she just got her license that day. It's very irresponsible. I wish that a police officer pulled her over to teach her a lesson.
Yeah, I wish there were like more severe consequences. And obviously I didn't want anybody to get hurt, but I wish that like there was more severe consequences for this specifically. And so then we see him like standing alone by the water. She approaches him and she notices his hands are bleeding. And it's because he was digging his fingernails so hard into his palms because he's so scared. Yeah. He admits, he says, I was in a car accident when I was a kid. You could have killed someone. And he says, your life is entirely made from choices you make. You're not running on tracks. Everything is still your decision. And then he says, and again, I think the show does a great job of like, because it can be dark, of weaving in some comedy. And so he says, and I just mansplained the rest of your life to you. And she's like, what is mansplaining?
That's really funny. Oh, man.
Yeah. I just thought that was so good because obviously mansplaining wasn't like a term at this time.
Yeah.
And I just, it was very funny. And he says, we're not together in the future. And she's upset. She's crying. And then she gets very serious and she asks, have you ever been arrested? And he's like, of course, I time travel naked where I need
every
to steal
day
things.
We get arrested, Claire.
Yeah. And he says, usually I disappear from the back of the police car after I'm arrested.
Yeah. And he so says, she's like, there's no consequences to your actions then because you just disappear.
Yeah. And she says, there's a boy named Jason at her school. I want you to kill him. And he says, why? But we cut to young Henry at the library. He's a new employee there. He's 24. And he gets a phone call and I love his immediate reaction being like, did she sound angry? Like he thinks it's one of his like flings or something, like calling to harass him at the library. And it's 32-year-old Henry calling 24-year-old Henry. And he's like, you need to have an alibi tonight between 8 and 10. And I'm like, first of all, second level thinking, like pretty great.
Yeah, right? Genius. But he's a professional criminal. That's why he knows.
He is.
Yeah. What did you I mean, what did you make of Claire kind of turning a switch and being like, I want you to murder somebody for me?
I mean, I feel like for a 16-year-old, I mean, hard to say, right? I haven't been with she's been through, but I could see it. I could easily see someone wanting someone. We'll get into exactly what happened, but I could totally see someone feeling like that. If I'm Henry, though, I feel like I don't agree to it until I know what happened. Like, he signs on to it, like, a little bit too quickly, I think.
Because, and this is, like, why this love is so deranged in a way, because it's like, if you love me, you will kill for me.
Yeah,
and that's how dramatic it is. No questions asked.
Yeah, so then we get, right, because like you said that, so older Claire says, how do you know it's him? It's actually him. It's not hearts and flowers. It's when he's ready to kill for you. And I was like, ma'am, like, I don't think my husband would like literally kill a human being.
I'm curious if he would. If you were like, I know Drew would not. I know my fiance would not. He'd be like, no, you're on your own.
He'd be fair.
He'll like send me off and like send me to the police. He would lock me up.
I think that, yeah, I would say that if people don't know our husbands, like your husband is definitely more like methodic and like by the book than my husband is. Lives more on emotions, I would say. Like he reacts more emotionally. I would say if what happened to Claire happened to me, I think my husband would have a similar reaction to Henry. Ooh. I do think he would have similar
now,
reaction.
Do you think, okay. Never
not
mind.
To, he would kill someone. But, you know.
I just think it's so funny that this show is like the peak of love is if your husband will kill for you.
It's absolutely ridiculous, right? It's, like this to me is bonkers. Like, yeah, the episode two situation, it feels similar to that. Like, what is going on? But I just want to give people a heads up, like a bit of a warning. We are about to get into some pretty sensitive material about rape and abuse. And if that's something that you cannot listen to, we totally understand if you need to bounce out of here or like fast forward past it. We totally get it. We're just going to talk about it within the context of the show. So we appreciate it if you have to skip through it. But I wanted to give fair warning. That's what we're about to get into. And so we see Claire and Henry driving, and Claire says she wants to watch it happen. She has her father's gun. And I was like, what? This escalated like so quickly. And she says, Jason is an a-hole. And then I do love Henry saying, I used to be an a-hole.
This show is in love with the word a-hole.
And constantly Henry is just getting called an a-hole all the time. Always.
It's a running bit, I guess. But yeah, so they go through with this plan and she seems a little like unhinged, and it's kind of crazy because all we've seen is Claire being this like sweet, mostly well-mannered girl aside from a temper, but this is like an edgy like Kill Bill Claire.
Yes. And so they get to his house. Jason is home alone because Claire made sure that was the case.
How?
Scoped out the place. I don't know. I don't understand a lot of what happens right here, but so loud music is playing. Henry knocks on the door, tells him to get in the trunk, and then points the gun at his head, and freaking Jason pees himself, and like Henry is just like, oh, what kind of a person pees on someone else at gunpoint? And I'm like, I don't know, Henry, have you ever been held up at gunpoint? Like, I'm
pretty sure Henry has been. Henry 110% has been held at gunpoint. He's never peed on himself.
I would pee myself if someone held a gun up to my head. Like,
he's a whiny baby. Just get in the trunk.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. And then so he puts him in the trunk, and he's like, he peed on me. Worst murder ever. And I'm just like, shouldn't all murders be worst murder ever? How many of these have happened to you? Like, what's going on?
I don't think Henry's a murderer, but I think that he's been in a couple of situations.
Yeah.
I think that this is where it gets a smidge humorous because they hear him like hacking up a lung back there. Wheezing. And Claire is like, did you get his inhaler? And Henry's like, why the heck would I get his inhaler?
We're gonna murder him. Why does he need to breathe? Like, if he dies in the trunk, all the better.
And he's like, you never told me to get his inhaler. So then Claire is so insistent to turn around the car and get his inhaler. You better get his inhaler right now.
The thing that I'm like wondering, right, is like, okay, we know Henry time travels and we know he has no control over when he comes, when he goes, right? Now, this is all a very stressful situation. Why is Claire like, we need to waste our time going to get at the inhaler? Henry could poof out of existence at any minute.
That's true. But I think he has, I don't know, he has to stay in this
inhaler. She says, we're not going to kill him. You're going to hurt him and I'm going to watch, but we're not going to kill him.
Fair enough.
And so then Claire asks, like, they stop the car and Claire asks, do you want to know what he did? And so she gets out of the car and she unbuttons her shirt. She's in front of the headlights and there are just, her body's covered in marks. She has marks on her stomach, on her back, on her arms. And so he gets out of the car. He asks if she's okay. And you could tell, like, this I felt like was kind of the first episode where I actually noticed a bit more chemistry between them. Not necessarily, I don't want it to sound like in a romantic way. It was more of like, caring. A deep, deep care.
Connection.
Yes, like a very genuine concern for another human being. And like, I don't want it to seem, because again, she's supposed to be 16 here. And like, it was more of like having a deep love for someone that he's married to her at this point, right? Like, he is seeing his wife brutally injured and like what that does to a person, you know?
Right. And up to this point, he's seen certain scars on her body and he's never known where they came from.
Yeah.
And to be in this moment and to have this understanding now, it's just, it's horrific for him because it's his responsibility, he feels, to protect her.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he she says he didn't rape me. He just hurt me. And he says he took me in my car, and Henry, of course, wants to know what happened. And she says he got angry. He said, so Jason said it wasn't fair to him, her changing her mind. And she said, I never would have. And she starts crying. And she says, he burned me. And so she kind of like pulls down her shirt a little bit, and kind of like along the top of her chest, there are like cigarette burns. And Henry says, go home, leave this to me. And I gotta say, like, I thought this was really well done. Her saying, this isn't about you. It's not about how angry you are. And yeah. Like her taking that back from him, I don't know, something about it just got me like very in my feels of like, that's right. It's not about you, Henry. Like, obviously you're angry and you're upset. It's about Claire and what happened to her. It should not be about your anger.
Exactly. Yeah. I liked, and I appreciated that too. And I appreciated that she was strong enough at 16 years old to vocalize that sentiment.
Yep. And so, she says, we're going to hurt him, not kill him. And again, kudos to Henry. He apologizes. He's like, I'm sorry. You know, you're right. And then it's so sad. It's so brutally sad, because for a split second, we, the viewer, are like, oh, good, you know, good that one particular thing did not happen to her. Mm-hmm. But then we hear older Claire say, of course he raped me. Of course he did. Why wouldn't he? We were in the middle of nowhere. I was in his car. It was so easy for him. And so we see Henry go into a convenience store, and he buys it's like a huge stack of duct tape, like a little ridiculous.
I don't know. It just seems so like suspicious if you're going to go in there and buy all this duct tape.
There's like six rolls of duct tape. Like, why do you need that much duct tape?
Well, I mean, he's kind of a big guy, this dude. He's,
I know, like, but you have a gun. Like, to me, if you have a gun, you know, what's he going to do?
We're taping. We're not killing him, Jessica. We're taping him.
Exactly. But he doesn't know that. Right. But anyway, and then we see him kind of look closely at these markers. Older Claire says, I never told him the truth. I didn't want it to be true. You don't admit that the monster was the first man that was inside of you when you're talking to the man that should have been. And then she says, I could make it not true when he was there. He's been dead such a long time now. And so again, it's like, it sucks, right? It sucks on many levels. It sucks that this happened to Claire. It sucks that she can't tell Henry, because her not telling Henry allows her to push it out of her mind and not make it true. But you feel for her, like, this is such a, again, like, I think this episode, and not just because of this traumatic incident, this episode does such a good job at allowing us to connect with Claire in a way that we had not for the first two episodes.
I agree. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it's something that we really, really needed, and I knew that we would get, and I'm really pleased with how they portrayed this.
Mm-hmm. So we'll get into, I think maybe at the end of the podcast, we'll talk about like book spoilers and like how they portray it in the book and everything.
Yep.
But so Henry, we see him duct tape Jason to the tree, and he punches Jason, and Jason's like, are you going to kill me? And Henry says, you're an asthmatic who smokes. Who needs to kill you?
Yeah, that's going to be in your future anyway.
That's so funny. Yeah. And so he asks Claire, do you want me to break his eardrums, break his nose? Oh, wait, no, someone's already done that before. Cut his Achilles tendon. He won't be able to play football. And he yells, how could you do that to her? I know what you did, Jason. And Jason asks, did you look at her phone, read her texts? That will tell you everything. We went out. We had fun. She texted me right after. Thanks for a great night. Read her texts. And so he's like wheezing. Henry gives him his inhaler. And Jason yells at Claire, show him your phone. And Claire says, I deleted the text messages. And Jason insists he didn't do anything. He says, my phone is in my robe pocket. I didn't delete them. Read them. You'll see how you feel. And I just thought, again, I thought they did such a great job here, where Claire approaches Henry and she says, listen, I did send those texts. I was frightened. I didn't want him to be angry with me. I wanted it to be normal in my head. And so I needed to say those things. And again, like, I thought this was so well done of like, just because someone after the fact, like, there is no consent in the moment. You hurt this poor innocent girl. You abused her and you took advantage of her and you raped her. And then she is dealing with it the only way she can. And it is to not further anger you and put herself in a vulnerable position. Anything a victim does at this point is like excusable. You know what I mean? Like, it's not her fault. And I thought that this scene where she says this to Henry, and he immediately is like not blaming her. There is not a single second he blames Claire.
No. And I think it also, I mean, once again, just in the perspective of school, I think that also when you're a teenager, you get really mixed up with like being cool and what people are saying behind your back and all this stuff. And I think that that probably colored why she texted those words to him. Because of all the rumor that was going on within school, she had to shut it down, but it still affected her. And I don't blame her for sending text messages to try to demean the situation that she was
in. She was trying to rewrite the history of it, right? Yeah. She was trying to act like, oh, if I write this, maybe it's not true, right? Like, it's not true that he did that to me. And Jason yells, she likes it rough. And Henry explodes at this point. Like, he's heard enough. He says, no, she doesn't. She never has. And Jason says, how do you know? And he says, I'm her husband. And I thought, again, like, Rose Leslie in this moment, I thought this was part of one of the best moments for her in the show thus far, is the look on her face. It's just such a mixture of emotions. It's confusion. She's upset, right? Like, I think she's already going through a really, really obviously tough experience. And then to realize that the person that you've known for this long has lied to you, it's like a mixture of emotions, right? Like, on one hand, she's upset with him. She's angry at him for lying. She's confused because she's hearing this in the moment. And also, I'm sure there's a part of her that's very happy that, like, oh, wait, I am married to you in the future. And like, my feelings are valid, right?
Yeah. I think that she's happy. I think that she's angry in this moment. I think that Rose Leslie, I've been getting on her case a little bit in the first two episodes. I think that she did a really, really spectacular job in this episode.
Yeah.
And I think that it was well acted. And I just really appreciate what they did here.
I think it was one of those things where she needed to have the content in order to get us there with to buy into her as a character, if that makes sense. She just didn't have enough substance in the first couple of episodes, whereas here they really gave her a lot of runway and she took flight. You know what I mean? Like, she kicked it, she nailed it out of the park. What, hit it out of the park? It doesn't matter. I don't know sports references.
I think you were there. Yeah,
I was. Okay, good. And so he starts coughing, and of course we all know what's gonna happen. He says, no, I'm gonna go. And she says, not now. And he like gets one kick into Jason. He just kicks him. And he says, I don't know why, but you're going to need this. And he hands her a blue marker. And then, of course, he lands back at home where he is now married to Claire. And older Claire says, I didn't want him to die while tied up having an asthma attack. I did, but not then. And so she called all her friends. She called every girl she knew and asked them to come over. And we see Henry, who is back again and forward in time with married to Claire. And he notices the marker is kind of like propped up in its own special stand.
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird. It was like in a case, like a trophy, but
it did look, I thought at first it was part of like an art exhibit. It almost looked like it was its own sculpture.
Yeah.
Because obviously we know that Claire is an artist, which I'm still, I'm hoping that this is just the tip of the iceberg here with her artistry. I'm here really curious to see more of the art that she's done.
I just think it, like, from the book's description, her art is really fascinating. So I hope that once we see her a little bit older, we'll be able to see some of her art.
We still have three more episodes, so my hopes are pretty high that we do get that. So he's 32, Claire's 24. And so we're 4 years into their kind of relationship. Right. And she asks where he went, and she asks, why did you keep the marker? She says, you gave it to me. And so then we're back in the moment with Claire and Jason. And she said, you could only come if a boy had hurt you. She says she wrote the whole story of what happened with her and Jason on Jason. And all the other girls wrote stories on him as well.
Yeah.
He became her first sculpture. She says, art isn't hanging on a wall or standing on a plinth. Sometimes it's revenge. And I thought this was, I don't know, this was so moving, like, to allow these women, these girls, to write the things that had happened to them on a dirty piece of crap like Jason and turn him into a piece of art is so yeah. powerful. I don't know. I just thought it was genius. I loved it. I loved the scene.
Yeah. I thought that was a powerful scene as well. I don't always condone tying somebody up to a tree and
don't always condone it, but sometimes.
And I suppose this could be one of the times where I condone it. Not really, but I think that this is what Claire needed in this moment. And it was definitely interesting. Like I can say like it's a really cool moment. It's like a badass moment. But it's kind of like if I put it into a real world perspective, I would never encourage anybody to kidnap somebody, put them in their trunk, and then tie them to a tree. But in this world,
he deserved it, so it's fine. He does. I mean, if anybody deserves it, this piece of crap does, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
And so she does say, I don't even know what to call it, right? The Claire that is the artist with Henry says she only saw Henry one more time in their clearing. And then we see Henry is 41. Claire is 18. He's in a suit. And she says, but that's another story. 2 years after that, she met him for the first time. He was younger than she'd ever seen him. He was the most beautiful man she'd ever met.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her soulmate since she was 6 years old, and he was an a-hole. And I love that they kind of, I think without that moment, they kind of ended on a bit of a darker note. And so I do kind of like that they bring it all back, right? This is Claire's portion of the story. This is full-on yeah. Claire. And we're kind of bringing it back to what we already have seen in the episode before and in the first episode too. Again, I loved this episode. I thought it was so effective and just, I felt like they made the most of the time that we had in this, like, what, 40 to 50 minute episode of television.
Yeah. Yeah. They told the important stories and I think that this was really pivotal because I think it changed our perspective a lot on their relationship, mm-hmm. especially as Claire is a young woman. And Henry as a man who is yeah. just trying to do the best with the situation that he has. And I think that they did a really good job of telling Claire's story and making her really connect with her and interested in what she's saying. And we get to learn a little bit more about her. I think that this was the best episode of the series thus far as well. Mm-hmm. And once again, as a book reader, I think that it was really nicely portrayed.
Yeah. So we're going to get into some book spoilers. So that cover the whole span of the book. So if that is not something that you want to hear, if you don't want to be spoiled on the television show, we totally understand. We will talk to you all in episode 4 of the series. Of course, you know where to find us. I'm at the Just Sterling. Sarah is at Sarah Ferguson. We have a ton going on, including stuff over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, which you can find at Shit 90s Pod, covering Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek. I'm also covering community on community building here on Post Show Recaps. And you can hear Sarah on the This Is Us feedback podcast this yeah. week as well. And we were cool. both on the Downton Abbey 2 Post Show Recaps Theater podcast. So you can go check us out there as well. But if you are bouncing out now, totally get it. We will talk to you all next time. But Sarah, let's dig into some of the episode full-on book spoilers. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do we think when the very first scene, where Claire says, do you still watch these? I hope not. I hope you have something better to do or someone. Is she talking to her child?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that she's talking to her daughter, Alba. And that is my working theory. Also, in the last episode, we saw Henry jump to a museum and we see a little girl with a silhouette. A black silhouette. We didn't get to see her face. That was 100% Alba as well.
Yeah.
In the future after Henry dies. And so we're definitely getting hints of Alba. And yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think that these videos that they're making is for their daughter.
That would make a ton of sense. And I guess I think I would dislike that format less, if that's the case.
Exactly. Yes, me too, especially as somebody that because Henry learns from Alba that he dies.
Yeah.
So it would make sense that once he heard that bit of information, that he would start making videos so that he can talk to his daughter. Yeah. I mean, truthfully, he already talks to his daughter because he keeps hopping to her in the future. But it would make sense that they would make these videos for her to explain their love story and all the stuff. Because I don't think they knew exactly that Alba was going to be a time traveler herself. But she
is. It was the DNA. Yeah, yeah.
It's in the DNA. And actually, the fun thing about Alba is that she is an evolved version of Henry.
So she can control it more, right?
She can't totally control it, but she can't. She has more control over it, and sometimes she can choose where she wants to go. So it's really cool because she it's once again that we get our scientific side of it, that she's an evolved version of Henry, and she is a prodigy. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
Also, I think like a big thing of this episode is the scene of Claire hearing a distant voice and runs to the forest where she sees Mark and her father and that big pool of blood. That is obviously Henry. I think we talked about this in episode one.
We did because we saw the big pool of blood in episode one, which obviously was foreshadowing for this.
Henry gets transported there. They're hunting in the morning. They're hunting for deer or whatever. They see a figure in the distance, they shoot at it, they shoot Henry.
Yeah. And this is really awful. And I think what's interesting is that with the book, they don't have all this foreshadowing. Like it is much more it's much more sudden, I think. Like it's not so front loaded like the show is.
That's true. I think that's true. I think it's like towards the middle they start bringing in these omens.
Bring it in. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess the big thing is, of course, this situation, this date that Claire goes on in the book. And this starts on page 92 of the book. And it's pretty much plays out very much like how they portray it in the book. The one thing is they didn't definitively say that Claire did get raped.
They don't explicitly state it in the book.
They don't explicitly say in the book, but Henry pops in. She says, "Would you beat somebody up for me?" And then there's a lot of talk how he's a football player and he's like much bigger and like Henry can't beat this dude up. But he's like, so it's the same thing. They bring him. Oh, so he asks on page 95, "Claire, did he rape you?" She says, "No, he said I wasn't good enough." He said, "No, he didn't rape me. He just hurt me. He made me." And then she shows that she has bruises and a cigarette burn on her right breast.
Which tracks with the
exactly.
Show.
So she stands strong that he didn't rape her. Now, is this a lie? I'm not quite sure. She never says elsewhere in the book that it was not true.
Yeah, I think I prefer the way the show does it.
I think I do too.
Just because I like it's hard to find the words. I like they're being honest with us, that they're telling us what happened, right? Yeah. I think it gives more power to other victims, other survivors out there.
Yeah, I do too. The reasoning was quite the same. They got into a car. Jason said that she was a blank tease, and that basically what I was saying earlier, that she doesn't go on dates.
Little Miss Look in don't school, touch or whatever.
That people in school assume things about her because she's not going out with guys, stuff like that. The thing in the asthma is also there, which is, it's funny because they're like, "Did you bring this inhaler?" And Henry didn't want to leave him alone because he would get like an asthma attack. So
yeah, this I thought was that read like something that was out of a book because it's just so specific. It's
specific, right?
Yeah. And yeah. I loved it. I thought that was such a fun detail and like a way to make it not as, I don't want to say not as serious, but like to add a little bit of lightheartedness into a really, really rough, serious subject matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just think that these were some things that I was just really looking forward to seeing because I just knew it was going to give a lot more substance to Claire's character. Yeah. And I've said it multiple times, but I just applaud the show with how they handled it. And I'm applauding the show for really covering the dark aspects of it and not skipping out on the rougher aspects, whether that be how hard it is to time travel in this world, but also the really sad things that happened in these people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially I think this episode, I've said it a million times, this episode is so successful in getting us to connect with Claire as a person.
Yeah.
With both the use of the voiceover by older Claire, by seeing different versions of Claire throughout time, and of course this super awful, tragic, traumatic things that happens to her and her reaction to it. I feel like we're allowed to then connect with Claire in a way we hadn't before. And it does feel like the connection between Claire and Henry is much stronger than we've seen. Yeah. In keeping in mind the fact that I'd say most of the time, over half of the time we've seen them on screen together, it's not when she's over 20 and they're together. A lot of the time we've seen them together is when he's still traveling back to see her and they can't yet have that romantic relationship. One other thing from the book that they lightly tease at the very end is when we see Henry's 41 and Claire is 18, he's in a suit. She says, that's another story for like a different day. That is, I believe, the first time they have sex is when she's 18. I believe.
That is true. Yeah.
So that might be what they're hinting at there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I was wondering, I think that, like a lot of young girls do, they envision a very specific, perfect time. So it would make sense that Claire has presented Henry with a suit for her deflowering.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, great. She gave him a suit. Like, that's not creepy.
She's honestly the drama, and she's always been the drama, and it's just funny.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy it. Yeah, I'm looking forward for the next episode. I think that we're going to get into Claire's college years, maybe. I think we're finally going to meet her friend Gomez, who is a big part of the story that we haven't met yet, a big part of Claire's story. So I think that's probably what's going to happen next. We might have maybe a wedding soon. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm super curious. I can't imagine we'll get Alba until probably like the fifth episode. Well,
okay, so what are we on? We're going to be on
next four. Episode is episode four.
Okay, so four is, this is my prediction, four is going to be the college years plus the marriage. Five is going to be their fertility struggles, and six is going to be Alba's born. Alba. And then we're going to wrap everything up.
I could see that being true. I mean we only have a few episodes left. I don't know that we'd ever mentioned this, but like originally I thought this was always pitched as a mini series. I don't know that that's the case. I would strongly be against ever having a season two. I think
this is the thing. Audrey Effinger has been writing a sequel to this book for the last 500 years. We've all been waiting for it. And it's supposed to be a sequel with Alba. So
I could see them doing that.
If we do get a season two, it would be like the book that we're supposed to be getting one day, and it would be a season two with Alba. That is what I'm pretty confident that that's what we would get.
I just don't think it would ever be as good as the original, but I'm always that way when it comes to sequels.
But
so
that would just be the book as well. It doesn't matter. That would be the book.
No, I know. That's what I know. I'm saying across the board, like both book and show.
Right.
But yeah, no, I've never been higher on the show than I am. Like at this particular moment, I felt like
this going was up, 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 up.
Yes. And we still have half the season to go. Yep. I'm really excited for the what remains of the seasons. I'm super pumped. So, yeah. So if you did stay with us, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back. So now we're caught up. We're all caught up on everything. We're going to be back when it returns on Sunday. I believe expect that podcast Monday-ish. From us on the episode 4 of The Time Traveler's Life. So we appreciate you all listening. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you all on Sunday or Monday. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.